I will go ahead and begin by confessing my frustration this morning with our director of student ministries, Corey Phillips. I preach 46 to 47 times a year here, but somehow he finagled to have the one Sunday out of the year where you all got an extra hour of sleep. So help me as I try to forgive him. We're in Ezekiel, and it's a good word for us on a day like today, especially as we're about to celebrate this holy meal. But it's also a difficult word. Ezekiel is speaking to those in captivity and reminding them of why they are there. But he's also speaking to what's coming. What's coming in terms of judgment, but also what's coming in terms of, as Corey shared last week, restoration. One of those definitions of that word, meaning that return. There's going to be restoration for the people of God. And just like Isaiah and just like Jeremiah, he does it by sharing two things. First, horror, and then hope. So if you're following along this morning, we're mindful of three things as we prepare our hearts for this meal, and also as we respond to his word, we're reminded of three things. First is this, that God remembers. He's going to talk to the people of God that they are to remember their sin and their ways, but we're confronted with this picture that God remembers what we do. As you walk through these passages in all of chapter 16, not only does he say they're helpless politically, but basically he starts the chapter by saying, show them all that they've done. And I won't recount for you everything they've done because we're in mixed company. But words are thrown around like harlotry and adultery as he speaks to the people of God as to what they have done. Just in our few verses this morning, he twice says, you are to be shamed by what you have done. And then these stunning references, not just to Canaan, but then to Samaria, as we as New Testament Christians know of that area and what it meant to the Jews of that time, that place, even in this time, that place where there are people who are intermarrying, which God had said, no, only marry people of the faith, and people who are blaspheming by worshiping on the wrong mountain. You go down to back up to verse 51, he says, look, their sins aren't even half of, your sins are double what theirs are. And then he brings up that town. Look, when you were raised, I'm sure your mom and daddy talked about a town. Oxford, Hattiesburg, Starkville. They talked about a town. Don't go there. That's a dark place. They talked about a family in town. Don't hang out with them. This is a buzzword. We get it, but we don't get it like they got it. He begins to recount Sodom and all of Sodom's sins. And he goes for the throat here and again says, what you're doing is worse than that area. It would have stung to have heard that what they were doing would have made Sodom blush. And God remembers those things. He recounts those things. It's always horror before it's hope. But then you get to verse 61, and this is where we'll close. You get to verse 61, and we're reminded, God knows those things, God remembers those things, but God also remembers his covenant. He remembers his faithfulness to his people. We'll come back to that. So God remembers, but then in verse 61 and 63, there's this call for us to remember. The parents were worried that 4-year-old Sasha was very jealous of her newborn baby brother, and they were a little nervous to leave her alone with him. But one particular day, she said, may I go in and see baby brother while he's in his crib? And they said yes, but they kept the door cracked, and they watched very carefully and listened to what she said. And she reached her hands through the bars of that crib and grabbed that little baby's face and leaned in and said, remind me what God feels like. I'm beginning to forget. We're called to remember. I remember when my son Joseph had a graduation speech. He worked in my favorite band, a lyric from my favorite band that nobody caught, but he also worked in a line from J.R.R. Tolkien. Some things that should not be forgotten were lost. The biblical call is to remembrance. It's partly why we gather at this meal, to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, that vigilant remembrance, to put him before us on a routine basis in this meal, to say again of his goodness and of his grace and mercy. It's a wonderful weekend to remember our veterans, to keep that before us all the time, but especially this every year, to say again, thank you to those who have risked for us. Thank you to the families who have let go of loved ones to go and serve on our behalf. A time to remember those whom we have lost through our church family this year. To remember, to have a service each year, to not forget the legacy and the ministries and the blessings of those who are a part of our church family. And so Scripture, whether it's Psalm 77, that would be a good study for that, or in the New Testament as well, we are called to constant remembering. 2 Peter 1, 12 through 13, and 2 Peter 3, 1 through 2. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things that you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. And that's the call to remember. Yesterday, I attended Belhaven College's last home football game. My in-laws have been teachers there, professors there for the last 25, 30 years. Last year, finally, the dean of students came to my father-in-law and told him, that vuvuzela that you keep blowing at football, could you maybe just reserve that for soccer? That's more of a soccer instrument. And so my father-in-law, being a good faculty member, he no longer brings the vuvuzela to the football games. However, yesterday as I was sitting with him, he had a foot-long PVC pipe with him, as well as, and I was impressed by this, a foot-and-a-half-long piece of large garden hose. I'm sure he'll be having the dean of students visit him again to remind him again. We need that reminder. And what God says in very vivid and graphic ways to the people of God here in Ezekiel 16, I need you to look at what you've done. I'm going to name them. You can't just say, oh, we're all sinners, forgive us. I'm going to name these specifically for you. And part of our response this morning as we're about to receive this meal is to say before the Lord, let me call them by name. Let me own where I have been, what I have done, what I have said, the attitude that I have carried. Let me name them because that's what the Lord does. But here's the good news and the great reminder for us this morning. God remembers his covenant. We're to remember our ways and our sins. But then in verse 63, this word, he doesn't remember. He forgives, which means he atones. By the New Testament verb of forgives, that means he just takes it and he throws it away. It's gone. Hear these wonderful words of life from Scripture. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, Micah 7:19, he'll cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Isaiah 43:25, I am the one who wipes out your transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Hebrews 8:12 and 10:17 say the same thing. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In January, we'll be having our annual revival. Dr. Bill Urey, who used to teach here at Wesley Biblical Seminary, will be our revival preacher. A friend of his was writing a catechism for children to learn the faith. And in that catechism, he had said several things about who God is for children to recite. And he showed it to Bill, said, would you look at this? And Bill offered some corrections. One of the corrections was about this question, what does God know? And his friend had said, God knows everything. And Bill struck a line through that. And it's good news for us. What does God know? God knows what he wants to know. As far as the east is from the west, or as Paul would say true love, real love, keeps no record of wrong. How do you and I need to hear that this morning as we remember our stuff and our sin and to bring that before Him so in this moment of this holy meal, we can experience again the forgiving grace of the Lord. But also in our daily walk with others, do we need to punt something that we've been holding on to or somebody's injured us and we need to hurl that away and let that go? Or maybe for yourself this morning. As you recount, and you always recount, that sin, that time you blew it, that time you blew up, that time you lashed out, that time you did that thing that if people knew you did that, do you need to allow not only the Lord to forgive that, but for you to let that go? Love, if it's real love, it keeps no record of wrong. Before we share in this holy meal, let's pray about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are a God who remembers His covenant, even when we, just as Your people of God in Ezekiel's day, even when we walk, when we sin, when we struggle. Father, we want to name before You our confession. That through Your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who Ezekiel calls the branch of Isaiah, the one who is our shepherd, the one He calls our King, that He might come and forgive us. But Father, in this moment, would You hear as we remember and recount those ways in which we have sinned against You, hear our confession. Almighty God, we praise You and we save You through our Savior, Jesus Christ, that in Him, what He has won for us on His cross and through His resurrection, that You do take our sins and remove them as far as the east is from the west. We praise You and we thank You, and in this moment now of celebrating Your Son, remembering Him, we pray that we might sense again Your great grace, that You would restore to us the joy of our salvation. And it is in His name that we pray. Amen.